Today's Wednesday, December 22, 2010. I'm Benito Gonzalez.
I'm Brian Song.
Hi, I'm Molly Wood. Welcome to Buzz Out Loud, CNET's podcast of indeterminate length. It's episode 1376, and it is our last live show of the year.
Yep.
Wow.
I know. I don't mean to spoil it for you guys, but the episodes that you're going to get later, we pre-recorded those.
Just to let you know. Yeah.
We did. So, yeah, this is it. We're having a last show of the year extravaganza. Why do we not have whiskey in here?
It's not my fault.
What were we thinking?
I'm not the whiskey guy. You're the whiskey
girl.
Yeah.
I know. So
we did celebrate last night, though, with a nice steak dinner.
We did. We had a little steak dinner. Ixnay on it. No, just kidding.
well, there's a lot of things that happened at that team dinner. Benito could have come.
Benito could have been there.
I could have.
He thought it was just ice skating.
But
he left.
No.
He didn't want to do the triple Lutz toe loop thing.
I know.
And instead, he missed out on a steak dinner at Morton's.
He did, because it turns out we had a whole big plan to take the entire CNET TV team ice skating, and then it turns out that everyone in San Francisco and most of America also had that plan, and so instead we had to go for a steak dinner at Morton's.
And if we... and
we
if
had everyone, to.
On our CNET TV team, honestly, more people, if they realize what really could have happened that night, they would have all shown up.
I know, but then we would have had to go to McDonald's instead of
yeah. That's true.
If anyone is in the building, by the way, listening to the show, and you want to bring us some bourbon, there's some in my office, and I'll share if you bring it over.
Whoa!
Because really, it's the last show of the year, for crying out loud.
Yeah, true.
Oh, and we need to get through it somehow. All right, let's start by getting with the news.
Yeah.
How about that? What do you think?
See if you guys can get through your days. This just in, approximately about an hour ago from the time that we're recording right now, Skype is down. They're saying about 8 million lost connections have happened in the last hour. You can launch Skype itself, but none of your buddies should show up. Some people are actually having Skype even load initially. But at the moment, Skype is down.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. What will we do? I actually saw a really funny tweet about that. The top tweet on the topic was, someone said, you know, as a true digital diva, I think that everybody who uses this free service should demand a refund.
I feel sorry for all the podcasters whose guests are on Skype.
I know.
Just can't do it today.
No. Oh, that's a bad scene. And then everybody, you know, now is the time of year, certainly, when everybody's starting to contact the loved ones and talk to people who are overseas. So hopefully they get that fixed pretty quickly.
But just to let you guys know, if you're having problems, Skype is down. It's not you. It's them.
The Skype Twitter account so far, and I'm clicking through so it says, you may have problems signing into Skype, the Twitter account says. Our engineers and site operations team are working nonstop to get things back to normal. Thank you for your continued patience.
Okay.
Hopefully by the time you hear this show later, it'll be fixed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, so there's some net neutrality fallout, obviously. We're not going to go on and on about it, but, you know, the analysis is rolling in, so we thought we would hit some of the highlights. As people dissect the order, and Gadget points out that the FCC is saying that in part, maybe one of the reasons that they didn't implement the same kinds of regulation on wireless networks is because wireless has open operating systems like Android.
Yeah, the direct statement from the FCC is that in kind of their rules that they laid out, they said, further, we recognize that there have been meaningful recent moves toward openness, including the introduction of open operating systems like Android. In addition, we anticipate soon seeing the effects on the market of the openness conditions we imposed on mobile providers that operate on upper 700 megahertz C-block spectrum.
Okay, like, maybe the spectrum thing, because you do actually have openness requirements. But that Android thing?
The Android thing, no.
That don't make no doggone sense.
That Android doesn't influence the carriers or the providers of how they behave or act with their metering or pricing.
And it doesn't. And if anything, it has led to the exact situation that I described yesterday, where they still make deals, hardware and manufacturer deals, to put certain apps on there and then block access to other apps, which is not... What? Like, that just doesn't... It makes so little sense that it frankly, to me, undermines the entire my faith in the entire process. It's like, wait, what?
The thing about it is, right, they didn't even have to use that as an example. Like, they could have just said, okay, we're going to leave the wireless spectrum open for now. And I know, obviously, a lot of people aren't happy about that. But the fact that they point to Android as one of the key points
for why they did it,
like, they would have been better off just not even addressing it in that way.
Yeah, just don't bring it up. It's like saying we decided not to implement speeding laws because cars have seatbelts. Like, really? Or even less of a, it's actually even less related than that. You know, yeah. We decided not to implement implement speeding laws because cars have Bluetooth built in now. Boy, oy, oy, oy. Yeah. So, and Gadget kind of wisely and pithily sums it up and says, like, it's actually a pretty huge stretch to think that Android's openness has anything to do with the network access itself. And it doesn't matter how open your OS is when you're stuck with a filtered or throttled connection.
Yep.
Yikes.
So.
Ars Technica has a breakdown of the paid prioritization aspect, the unreasonable discrimination aspect that is that they – so they instituted among the regulations a ban on unreasonable discrimination for wired ISPs. And they basically just have a breakdown that looks at the order and says, indeed, as we suspected, this would seem to specifically forbid paid prioritization. Like, you can't say to Google, you have to pay us extra to make sure that YouTube traffic gets through. Mm-hmm. And that unreasonable, because people were very worried that unreasonable was too broad, but that would seem to, that would definitely seem to be covered there.
And oh my God, paid prioritization, like imagine what that would do for like end user license agreements.
Disaster.
Oh yeah.
Disaster. So, I mean, we'll see, like obviously there will be all of these, as Ars Technica points out, all of these assertions will soon be contested because the idea that that sparked the entire net neutrality debate was paid prioritization. The idea, you know, was Ed Whitaker, then CEO of AT&T, saying, you know, basically Google's trying to shove more water through my hose than my hose can handle, and they should have to pay me more for certain types of traffic, even though they already pay for the delivery in the first place. So,
and he should be investing in a larger hose.
He should. Well, exactly, though. Seriously, it's like, buy a bigger hose, dude. You don't get to pay people because they need to deliver more water.
We'll stop using the combination of big and hose. And
we will definitely stop. I know. Dang it, hose.
Damn it.
What used to be such an innocent word. Also, Ars Technica has a really an interesting write-up, too, that titled, Why Everyone Hates the New Net Neutrality Rules, Even Net Neutrality Supporters. And it's kind of, I mean, I don't know. I got to say, the writing in this particular article is outstanding. Mm-hmm. Like how they describe Commissioner Robert McDowell as unleashing a biblical Jeremiad against the order. Or the subhead, Solomonic or moronic. You guys are good. Yeah. That's some serious wordplay right there. I think their take is actually maybe a little more negative than it seems to be. My feeling is like if you come up with a compromise that the extremists on both sides hate, that's usually in the long run a fairly decent way to go.
Yeah. No, I agree. The thing about it is, okay, everyone's still upset about the whole leaving the wireless open thing, or that we've talked about.
Yeah, that's bad. You know, I agree.
That is bad. But at the same time, the people that are, you know, I guess the purists that still wanted the internet to be entirely open, I can't see how they can still stick with that. Although fundamentally they want it open, it's still going to leave the carriers to play and do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. Like that light touch of how they deal with the wired broadband, I felt was a nice compromise in that area. And then obviously you have the people who voted against, open internet just going buck wild and teeing off our, you know, fellow Republican commissioners at the FCC.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things Ars Technica says is that they think Jen Nakowski failed in some way because he failed to come up with a good compromise, partly because he got no Republican votes for the compromise package. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It is just not the political climate right now for anybody to compromise. Like, if you are proposing something that has become a cornerstone issue for Democrats, you ain't getting no Republicans. I don't know what's going on with my grammar today. I can't stop.
You ain't getting?
It's because we watched a little Antoine Dodson before the show. But seriously, that's just how it is. That's how the climate is right now. No one is crossing party lines, at least for the most part.
Once a party basically gravitates towards an issue right now, it doesn't. It's not about the issue. It's about the party. It's about the party.
Right.
And this is a pure example of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I have come down on the side of like, you know what? I think they tried as hard as they could to strike a balance that was a light touch, but clearly tried to establish some authority and regulation that is necessary and that hopefully is going to turn out to be really important prevention. So for all the people who are saying it wasn't broken, like, A, not true, and B, there's every reason it could become broken in the very, very near future. So,
and purists, I keep on wanting to like ringing that bell that say, no, we don't need any regulation or any rules at all. They're just a little misguided because they believe that the open internet is still the same as what it used to be a long time ago, and it's not.
Right, and that they think there's enough competition, or they think that, you know, these are not giant global multinational corporations that are getting into the same space that the internet is in. I mean, it's you have competition crossover, and whenever you have competition crossover, you have anti-competitive behavior. Mm-hmm. So I think the FCC is trying to walk that very, very thin line right down the middle. I think they're doing the best they can.
I think it's also kind of a misnomer to say the internet is open or closed, so to speak, because like, yes, you know, like the ISPs right now, that's pretty much closed. Like you can't see what they're doing. You don't know what they're doing to your data or any of that. Like, so that is pretty much kind of a closed system if you think about it.
Right. And that's actually one of the regulations is to create that transparency.
By
like
ISPs.
A look at what kind of management mm-hmm. is being put into place so that, you know, we can determine if in fact the water is flowing freely through the hose.
Or the need for a larger hose.
And on yet another hose metaphor, let's take a quick break. We're done right. talking about net neutrality.
Let's hose that part.
For the rest of the year. Woo! Uh-huh. When we come back, though, Microsoft may be unveiling Windows for ARM chips and then WTF with the CIA's WTF.
Yes. Your TV may be beautiful, but it only does TV. What if you could control everything you love about TV and the internet, all on one screen? Movies, shows, web videos, email, social networks. What if the TV of tomorrow was here today? Say hello to Smart TV. Imagine the possibilities with the performance of Intel inside your TV.
Buzz out loud. Welcome, welcome, my friends. All right. Latest in the news, Microsoft is said to be unveiling a version of Windows specifically for ARM chips at CES 2011. The world's largest soft maker will announce the version, and it'll be for the first time running on the ARM platform.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So the speculation is that we won't necessarily be seeing devices right away, because apparently it's Microsoft's thing to just announce things at CES that never happened.
We might see devices.
We might.
I hope so.
Yeah.
But what would be interesting about this is really, we've talked about it here before, they really need to create an OS or some sort of software platform specifically for tablet and portable devices.
Exactly.
The tablet market, because they've tried the whole, Windows 7 can do touch. But
and
that
it just
has
can't.
That it just can't. It's not the same. It can't hang. So this is an opportunity to, I'm curious to see what they release. I mean, I'm not going to be a skeptic. I just want to see what they're going to bring to the table. But from a strategic standpoint, this is the right thing for them to do. And it's good to at least show them evolve and throw their platform on the ARM platform. Throw their OS on the ARM platform.
Yeah, I mean, and in case you don't know, apparently someone in the chat room just sort of went kamikaze trying to figure out, trying to get us to tell them what ARM chips are. They are the processors that are created specifically for small handheld devices like tablets, like smartphones. I mean, this could actually be huge for the tablet market, if they really do create a Windows version of iOS. I mean, let's be honest, that's kind of what we're talking about, mm-hmm. is the Windows iOS. And if they really do that and they get it out the door quickly and they start putting out some tablets, then all of a sudden you have some real competition.
Like all they really need is really good multi-touch support on Windows, and that's it. That's everything.
Yeah. And just something a little lighter, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The main thing, though, is because we've seen just how quickly these OSs are evolving with the mobile platform, they really have to bring something, at CES, because of their delays, that is either equal or better to them what we've seen on iOS.
I know.
They really have to. Now these days, you cannot, even with Windows Phone 7, which we like here, we all like, it's still not strong enough.
Yeah. And they have to come
out strong, and I hope for their company's sake that they do.
Right. ARM, by the way, Intel, so ARM is made by what? Advanced Micro? AMD makes ARM chips, and Intel so far has not been able to come up with, we're going to see a lot of their Sandy Bridge technology at CES, and that is the chip technology that they hope will square off against ARM, be a more power efficient, you know, portable, tailored kind of processor architecture.
Right now it's NVIDIA, right? NVIDIA is the one making like the powerful chips, Tegra and all that.
Making Tegra for smartphones.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. And then you've got AMD's ARM platform, which is kind of, that seems to be the one for tablets.
Yeah.
Anyway, at least one analyst says a full-featured version of Windows for ARM chips is the best way for Microsoft to make a dent in the iPad's lead. Okay, let's talk about other gadgets, shall we?
All right, Verizon is looking to sell their first 4G phone as one made by Motorola, according to Chief Operating Officer John Stratton.
I know, dishy.
It's the first time the carrier has identified a handset maker for their launch for an actual phone on their 4G network.
Yep. They do say the LTE smartphones are on the horizon and that, yes, Motorola will be right there. That Motorola is a huge Verizon partner, so that's not too surprising. They said the timing, name, and price of the new phone couldn't be learned, by Wall Street Journal. I suspect we will start seeing more and more leaks like this, though, as we get closer to CES, because Verizon is planning
one of the
key keynotes. CES.
Yeah, the huge keynotes over there.
Yeah, so we're going to hear all about LTE all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're also, as we know, going to be hearing all about tablets all the time. So speculation about tablets is at an all-time high.
An all-time high that we might have seen diagrams that we've seen before used for other diagrams and other stories. So we first got this story about an exclusive iPad competitor coming soon from Palm, reported by our friends at Fox News. And, you know, they show these diagrams of leaked specs of basically looks very similar to the HP Slate. And so our own Erica Ogg's like, well, is this Palm Pad that they're talking about actually a recycled HP Slate? Because we showed the same diagrams earlier this year.
So it appears to be the same diagram that HP introduced to used to introduce the Slate 500 in October. It does not necessarily mean, I mean, don't get me wrong, obviously HP is going to come with a webOS tablet.
Yeah, which so, they acquired.
Which is because they acquired it and everybody's been waiting for it to happen. But yeah, I don't know that this, well, I think the story actually just would have been a lot stronger without the spec sheet. Okay. But they said the spec sheet is the reason, and it appears that the spec sheet is in fact just the HP Slate. Branded as a Palm Pad.
Mm-hmm.
Although, let's be clear, once again, I mean, that's happening. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a good start. A little clarification about ARM. I said that it was AMD. Peace2D2 in the chat room says, ARM isn't actually AMD. It's just the ARM Holdings, Inc., and they licensed the chip design. So thanks for looking that up. He Googled that for us.
Ooh.
And Rob Red in the chat room, you know, our top secret source, says, according to my friend who works on WebOS, this is, in fact, the old HP tablet.
Hey.
So,
see, there we go. Love the chat room. Rob Red hooking us up.
You guys are awesome.
But
awesome.
The original HP tablet probably had a different OS, though, right?
It did.
At the time, before they acquired Palm. Mm-hmm.
I don't see why it wouldn't be different hardware. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, or why it would be different hardware. Like, HP makes good hardware. They're just going to put the Palm OS operating system on it.
Sure.
And, like, off we go. It's going to be great. Going to love it. I'm excited about the WebOS tablet. Also, in the news this week, the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act is making its way, apparently, through Congress, and it would, in fact, require electric cars and hybrids to make noise. It would also fund the Department of Transportation to create a set of rules for automakers who would be allowed some leeway in how they carry out the guidelines.
You, when we read this, we were like, it's about time.
You were.
What do you mean you were?
Ridiculous. Give me a break.
You don't. Have you heard how quiet these things are?
I mean, I guess, okay, to be fair, that's true. For the visually impaired, it is important that they make some noise.
I mean, even from just, like, you know, a safety thing for, like, kids just to react to it. I mean, not that I have kids or anything.
Yes.
But some of these cars are so quiet, I wouldn't even realize that they were backing up.
It is a good thing. You're right. It's a good thing. It just sounds so nanny state in some ways, though. Like,
it does.
Oh, these cars have to be louder, you guys.
But they really do.
It's also like, what sound is it going to make? They're just going to make a fake engine noise? Is that what it's going to
be? I hope you can mod it. You can put in a little, like, SD card and choose the engine sound of your choice.
Yeah, but then you know people are just going to hack that and pump music outside.
Yeah, cool. Prius with the Mustang rocking.
I mean, I don't know.
You're not for this?
Well, the data that they've used, right? So there's data, they have this study that they say proves that Prius or that it hybrids are more likely to hit you than other cars. But then other people are saying that the data is not necessarily, the early data showed a problem. Maybe those studies were flawed. Like, it just seems like a very, very expensive solution to something that we don't actually know is a problem yet. And please believe me, I am not trying to be insensitive to the visually impaired because that is all over my family right now, big time. But there are a lot of safety mechanisms in place at stoplights and things that can correct for this. And I don't know, man, to require cars to be louder just seems like...
Well, that, I mean, to me, that's just all on the factory level and it really doesn't hurt them that much to do it.
Doesn't it? How much is it going to cost them to have to build this? I mean, they're going to have to retool the, like, production process. It is, I think it's probably non-trivial to figure out how to engineer some new noise into these cars that you already have a factory assembly plant for.
I mean, it could just be, like, a wire that's essentially, like, connected towards the fact that when it sees the charge in the engine, it's, like, it's going to emit some sort of low humming tone. That's
it's kind of like,
it's,
I don't know.
On a little baby speaker. It won't have to be, like, completely integrated into the system and, like, rev up when you rev up and rev down when you rev down.
I don't know. It's kind of like how they were also going to require the backup cameras in the cars. And it's just like, I don't think that these things need to be, like, legislative mandates when they cost a ton of money and the incidences are either unproven or extremely small.
I can see that. But I honestly think these cars are just way too quiet.
For what? To live?
No.
Like, it just seems so weird.
Have you been in, well, I guess you haven't been in a situation where, like, a car backed out and you had no idea it was backing out in, like, a shopping parking lot? And you would have if you had heard it. Like, you really would have if you had heard the engine. And just that split moment is like, you go like, why isn't that car louder?
Like, I know where you're coming from. That's happened to me. It doesn't happen to me very often.
But it's happened.
But as hybrid cars become more and more prevalent and electric cars become more prevalent.
Don't you think?
I think it will be a problem, but...
Looking for them.
Okay, guys.
I mean, people need to watch Sesame Street and learn how to look both ways, you know?
And again,
we totally know that not everyone can look both ways. I totally understand that, you know? But that... The incidences of these occurrences don't seem to be statistically high enough that it has to become like a law.
Yeah.
A $1 billion cost law, you know?
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, you know, I'm not trying to change your mind.
I know you're not trying to change my mind.
Yeah.
Because you can't change my mind. A woman can't change a man's mind. And a man can't change a woman's mind.
Good, because I wouldn't even want to.
I'm surprised we spent that much time on that story.
That was unexpected. Like, wow, where did that come from?
That was unexpected.
Oh, so I don't want to give away one of my predictions for 2011, but...
That's true.
You're the botnet, people. There's a really upsetting story over at the BBC about how web attacks are targeting human rights sites. Human rights groups and campaigners are being hit hard by huge web attacks launched by those opposed to their view, according to recent research by the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard. It said that they were basically trying to find... get a sense of how often these groups and independent media organizations are hit by DDoS attacks. And they said that in the 12 months between August 2009 and September 2010, there was evidence of 140 attacks against more than 280 different sites.
Huh.
And that those were likely to be the most high-profile attacks. Many more had probably gone unreported. Because, and maybe it was, you know, maybe it was the Chinese government taking down sites. It's unclear. But it's also like there are these sort of loose knit groups like Anonymous of so-called activists who believe that if they don't like what you're saying, I mean, this gets back to like, I'm not trying to change your mind, right?
Yeah.
If they don't like what you're saying, you shouldn't exist. Like, you're not allowed to say it anywhere. It's sort of like, this is what happens when, I don't know, just like a bunch of kids who do it for the lulz have access to botnets.
Yeah.
It was just very disturbing.
And it's something that, like you said, we're going to see a lot more next year.
Yeah, and it's easier all the time. You know, there's just like practically one click DDoS. Yeah. Did you hear about that? There's like a bit.ly type site, a link shortener. There's a URL shortener like d.doz or something, and it shortens your link, but it also steals some processor power to like launch a DDoS.
Amazing.
Which, anyway, I just found that to be like a bummer. A bummer.
All right, bummer.
So donate to some human rights organization and help them buy some more servers this year so they can fight off these attacks. And on that, should we do some quick hits?
Let's just do that.
Okay.
Amazon.com Kindle sales are said to have been exceeding estimates, according to Amazon or analysts, excuse me. They're likely to sell more than eight, analysts say.
Yep.
Amazon's likely to sell more than 8 million Kindle electronic books, at least 60% more than analysts predicted.
Yeah, actually, what is interesting is it's two sources who are aware of the company's sales projections saying that they're going to sell 8 million, and that's way more than the analysts. I mean, Amazon never gives any numbers, so take it all with a grain of salt, but that thing definitely has been at the number one of the bestseller list forever. Speaking of a bestseller, Call of Duty Black Ops has surpassed the $1 billion worldwide sales mark after just... 6 weeks.
Ridiculous.
Of availability.
That's ridiculous.
6 weeks.
No surprise.
This thing is just a juggernaut.
No, it is surprising.
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable. Also, potentially unstoppable in video games. Microsoft's looking to improve the Kinect performance. They're saying with software updates, they could increase the resolution limit. Currently, it's limited to 320 by 240 when it scans objects around the room, but the rumored update would increase this to 640 by 480 and can go as detailed as basically identifying individual finger gestures to control the device. So there's a lot more that can be done with that device, and you know, maybe they'll let it be open so developers can hack that too.
Yeah,
I mean, that's as they just up that firmware, It's good to see that there's going to be improvements in that realm too.
That's an awesome sign that they can improve it with software. That's awesome.
Yeah, because then that reduces the first gen hardware regret significantly. Yeah.
Totally.
People have been waiting for Windows Phone 7 devices to show up on Verizon. It looks like Verizon compatible Windows Phone 7 applications are starting to show up in the Windows Phone marketplace. So there have been rumors that a Windows Phone handset's coming sometime after the new year to Verizon, but these seem to indicate that it could be actually very soon after January 1st. So good news if you've been waiting for one of those.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. On to some gadget news.
Gadgets.
Mr. Blurry Cam strikes again. I don't know who came up with Mr. I think it was in Gadget, but it's my new favorite thing ever. There are over at phonearena.com, Phone Arena is claiming an exclusive with real photos of the HTC Evo Shift 4G, which is sort of like they describe it as a slightly watered down version of the first WiMAX phone for Sprint, the Evo 4G. And this one, it looks like, would have a slide out keyboard, kind of like the Epic almost, except from HTC.
Yeah, a lot slimmer.
Yep. There you go.
It's like when you see these phones, it's like they almost all look the same these days.
They really do. I know. It's like
I don't get excited about phone designs anymore.
No, the designs really, there's not that much.
It's only the guts that gets me excited now, like dual core processors.
Right. Is it 1 gigahertz or not? This one they actually say they think would be clocked at 800 megahertz instead of a gigahertz.
That's almost.
And also no front facing camera. Wah, wah.
Look how far we have evolved in technology. Just like sight, it's not all about what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside that counts as well.
That counts.
And I'm just glad we've gone to that point.
Me too. For example, the point where we might have Microsoft Windows Media Center built into our TVs. What? That's exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. This is a little older link, but someone just wanted to, one of our readers submitted this as Acer showing off their own Windows Media Center embedded box. So this is essentially like a set-top box with Windows Media interface pumped right into it, you know, to control your guys. It is older.
It did come from September, it looks like.
Yeah. So,
we'll see that more at CES.
Yeah. So we'll see if we'll see a lot of, you know, Windows platforms at least ignoring having to plug in a PC and get this interface and just put it straight on a set top box.
Right.
So we'll see.
All right. Sorry about that old news, everyone. Yeah. But let's move on because we got some happy endings. NPR is working on a series about the worst ideas of 2010.
They must be listening to us, first of all.
I think they definitely are. All week, they say, we'll be talking about the best and worst ideas in music this year. One of them being... Ping.
Was that on the best or the worst?
Worst. Worst ideas of 2010. Ping. they say, let's see, the day Steve Jobs made the announcement of Ping, tech writers began sounding the death knell for MySpace, which not that many
which
did.
Which is not.
No. But they said, here's why Ping is floundering. It can be summed up in a sentence. Apple doesn't like sharing. Thus, it is difficult for them to build a social network. Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, I feel like 2010 was a lot of the year of the half-baked.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things now that companies are trying to get out there just to say that they did it first, even if they're kind of half-baked. And then the fact is that they don't get adopted as quickly as they haven't figured out what their strengths are, how to do it right. And then people just lose interest and kind of go like, eh. So I hope 2011 is the year of fully baked.
I know.
Because
or just
kinda,
really.
Just
get
more
rid of
than
Ping.
Baked.
Like, come on. Get rid of Ping. Seriously.
They're
obviously not committed to making anything even remotely usable. It took them 4 months to just include playlist sharing.
The bottom line is I can't write a random statement about who I like when I listen to music.
Yeah.
It's dead.
No, it is. So good call on that one, NPR. Other worst ideas of 2010 in music were like We Are the World 25, they said, the end of appointment listening, and then, of course, Ping. So they've done three so far. Ha ha, Ping. Also in... terrible idea.
This is great.
I Googled this like 5 times looking for
just
supporting stories because I was like, there's no way. There's no way that this is not a joke. In fact, I'm still convinced that we're going to have emails by the time the show is over telling us it's a joke. But it appears that the CIA has launched a task force to assess the impact of the big WikiLeaks cable dump. And the name is the WikiLeaks Task Force.
WikiLeaks Task Force, or WTF for short.
WTF.
Officially, for the panel is called the WikiLeaks Task Force, but at CIA headquarters, it's mainly known inside as WTF.
Seriously. This is according to the Washington Post. They do say the irreverence, like they know, right, that they know it's called WTF.
Obviously.
But it still is so funny. They say the irreverence is perhaps understandable for an agency that has been relatively unscathed by WikiLeaks.
Until
but even so,
now.
Yeah. The WTF task force. Nice.
Nice.
I kind of like it. Good job, guys.
Also, just to, you know, make the holiday season right, our favorite friend, Antoine Dodson, gets in the Christmas spirit with his little Chimney Intruder song that he did on George Lopez's Tonight Show. We watched it during the pre-show, but we have the link in the show notes. It's thoroughly enjoyable.
It's surprisingly enjoyable. Like, even though we're on minute 25 of the 15 minutes of fame, it's really pretty funny.
We were laughing the whole time.
He was. In case you didn't see my special end of the year top five fill-in, I did the top five internet memes, internet video memes of 2010. This guy was number one. He's for real.
Well deserved.
I know, you got to watch that. It's pretty funny. But we're not going to show it to you right now. Because we are headed straight into the feedback.
All right, this email comes in from Don talking about the FCC rulings. Am I the only person worried that the FCC's live webcast kept cutting out, loss of bandwidth, and when they were talking, the voices were badly clipping, incorrect setting of analog audio levels? These people are in charge of both, and yet their own techs can't do it.
Oh,
scary.
Come on, cheap shot.
I mean, it's... Yeah, that has nothing to do with the FCC ruling, but
yeah,
it was kind of funny for us.
We liked it. Russ writes in about net neutrality also, says, I'm writing today to try to correct the language that you guys use on your podcast when referring to FCC regulations in regards to net neutrality. They aren't regulating the internet. They are regulating the service providers, and it's a significant distinction that I think needs to be made so that people on the anti-net neutrality side of the argument can't point fingers and say, you're trying to regulate the internet. He said, we're just trying to regulate the providers to ensure they provide fair and balanced access to everyone. And if anyone should be in favor of this, it should be conservatives. The ideas being proposed by ISPs would be a dramatic change in how the internet currently works. I just don't understand who would be in favor of this other than those who stand to make massive profits in the short term by completely changing the dynamics of internet access in America. It's 100% anti-consumer, and it is quite frankly a danger to the future of the U.S. economy to allow internet service providers to behave in the manner they have made abundantly clear to behave in. Boom. Short term, a handful of people will make big profits on this. Long term, it will have devastating impacts on the U.S. economy, which is moving more and more to internet based every single day. Good rant, Russ.
Good stuff, Russ.
Good rant. And also, you're right. We'll be more careful.
We like regulating the
ISPs.
Yes. Now, we also have
good
other
emails,
but it's, you know, it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
It's our last show of the year. How could we leave without giving you a little bit of that computer love? Oh yeah.
Special last computer love instance of the year.
Oh yeah. This one's you.
Computer love. Lucan writes in and says, hey, Buzz Crew, I really need your help on this one. I've been happily married for almost 10 years. I have a beautiful wife and two great kids, but there's something missing. My wife is awesome. She's funny, a phenomenal cook, and an awesome mom. She stays home and takes care of the kids, for which I am eternally grateful. But here's the thing. She just doesn't get tech. She knows that I am a geek, and she embraces it, but only from a distance. I really feel this is a gaping hole in my life. I need someone that not only hates Apple, but knows things like the difference between Android 2.2 and 2.3. I need someone that lives, and better yet, works in technology. So how do I get Molly to be a sister wife? Love the show.
Lucan.
I freaking hope you're kidding right now. Because if you aren't, I really only have the one answer for you, and it's double barrel. But I can't show you the barrel that I mean.
You've got an amazing wife. You said the words beautiful, two great kids.
You're joking, right? Like, you're. Please tell me you're joking, because A, that sister wife thing is creepy, and then B, it's okay if you have your own hobby and she has her own hobby.
I think that's a good thing.
I'm not like, if everything else is awesome but she doesn't like tech, move on. Get over it. Not move on, like leave. Like, get over it, dude.
Just watch our show. You can see Molly all you want every day, five days a week.
Maybe you mean it as a misguided compliment, but dude, that is upsetting. That is some upsetting computer love.
I know, it was a little upsetting.
I did not like that at all.
Should we shift gears?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Dear computer love.
I know he's totally joking, but still.
I hope he is.
Dude, I know. Just on the off chance that you're not joking, like.
Come on. She's your wife.
You're joking.
All right, here we go. This is from our friend Eric. Dear Computer Love, I received a message via Facebook from a person who I thought was cute. They wanted to become Facebook friends. We chatted online, and I found out they only live 30 minutes away from me. We decided to meet in real life. I chose a coffee shop in a well-populated area. Smart. We met and talked for what seemed like hours. We had many things in common, which was great. Then we met again a few times before I finally asked that person on a date. Things went well, or so I thought it was going well. Then 2 months in the relationship, we just both decided it wasn't working out. Then a few weeks ago, I received a phone call from a high school friend who I happened to hook up with the night before they shipped out to Afghanistan for an entire year. We met for dinner and drinks, never bringing up the topic of what happened that night. We had an absolute blast, so later on that night, I dropped this friend off at their place. Before I exited the car, this person leaned over and gave me a kiss and told me, I hope we can do this again soon.
Aww.
Then a few days later, I get a phone call from the Facebook friend wanting to give the relationship another try. If things couldn't get any more complicated, last night I got a text from my high school friend asking if they could come over and hang out.
Whoa.
I know, this is a love triangle right here.
I know, it is a
love
triangle.
So my question to you is...
Also, you are in demand, person.
Said person. So my question to you is, should I forget about my Facebook friend and pursue my high school friend or vice versa? All right, so this is my advice.
Can I sex?
You jerk! Molly's answer to everything. Hey, Lucan.
Sorry, go ahead,
Lucan, connect sex.
That's true, Lucan. We can just have connect sex.
All right,
maybe
so
that'll make you feel better about your
let's
life.
Let's take it back to our friend Eric. So my thing is, I go with my gut, and I'm sure that you're feeling one of these people more than the other. Slightly, there might be different reasons why you like person A. Maybe the availability of them, person B, is not as available, so you're like person B more. But maybe you get along with person A better. At the end of the day, I just go for the person who, like, I have the stronger connection with.
Like, well, yeah,
and you'll
clearly,
know, you'll know, you'll know that, though.
You know in your heart.
You'll know in your heart. See, maybe one's, like, naughty, naughty, and you like the naughty right now.
See, I think what happened is Facebook person must have called it off. And that's why
and
our emailer is feeling like, yeah, a little heartbroken. But you know what? Here's the thing. In general, if you have already broken up, like, if you've broken up once, if you decided after 2 months it's not working out, even if that other person decided, and I know that stings the pride, and then the other person goes away and regrets it, and that makes you feel good, the fact is, it didn't work out once, and so the odds are it's not going to work out again.
Odds are, but...
I'm not saying that's a hard and fast rule. I'm just saying odds are that's not going to work out, and that person just went off and is regretting it, and it's the holidays or whatever, but it doesn't mean that it's a good bet, whereas this high school friend, like, you've had a connection for a long time.
True, and that's going to last you a longer time. I just feel like when you're in this situation, I'm not, you're either a head or a heart person. Whoever wrote this is either a head or a heart person. They're using their head right now, and they may go with their heart, and they may get burned, but me, I'm heart.
Yep. It's a Facebook thing. Like, no, you can let that go super easy. We talked about this. Like, when it's a Facebook thing, like, let it go.
But who knows?
Go with the long term real life.
So you're
connection.
Saying go with the high school friend
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I say the odds are that'll last longer.
I think so. If it didn't work out the one time, like, I'm just saying, probably not gonna work out again.
Okay.
Good luck.
Wow.
But you can offer your own computer love advice at our blog bol.cnet.com. We're gone. So the feedback loop is kind of closed for now. Like, you could send us a couple emails in the next day or two just for us to look at, but we're going to be out of the office for about 2 weeks, headed to CES. We'll be doing shows live from CES, but we're going to miss you guys.
Next first live show from CES?
Our first live show,
fourth?
I think, is on... No, the fourth is a travel day.
Is it?
Well, it is for me.
Oh, no. Okay, then...
So we might have a show on the 4th with Brian Tong and someone.
Really?
But I don't think so. I think the first show back from the break is going to be January 5th, live from CES.
But we also wanted to say thank you to everyone that listens to our podcast for the years. Thank you to everyone that's in the chat room.
Seriously.
That you guys have made it, like, so incredible. Thanks for welcoming me with open arms.
Yes.
And for those that aren't listening that were sick of me, well, too bad. You're not listening anyway. See ya.
Seriously, yeah, I know that it has been a rough year here at Buzz Out Loud, and it's felt like there was a lot of change, and, you know, things were really shifting and changing a lot, and you guys really stuck with us, and I could not appreciate it more.
It's amazing.
we are so blessed to have the audience that we have, to get to do this show every day, even though we probably get ourselves fired like 9 times a show.
We'll find out if we're not here after January 1st.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate everything.
Happy New Year.
Feel better soon, Jeannie.
And Jeannie, feel better soon.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
All right.
Bye,
see you guys.
Bye. See you next year.